All right, well, thank you for coming today. On Friday, November 29th of 2013 at 7:49 a.m., the Lynchburg Police Department was notified that a 2002 Honda Accord was discovered off the roadway in the 2000 block of Concord Turnpike. When officers responded, there was no one located inside the vehicle. It was discovered, however, that the front airbags had been deployed. The vehicle was registered in the name of Norma Gilbert Etheridge. Officers responded to the address that was listed with DMV and spoke to a resident there who stated that Norma's daughter, Jamisha Gilbert, normally drove the vehicle that was wrecked, but that both mother and daughter had previously moved out of that particular house. The Lynchburg Police Department then attempted to contact both Norma Gilbert Etheridge as well as Jamisha Gilbert over the phone, but they were unsuccessful. During the course of the investigation, the airbags were swabbed for the presence of DNA. The DNA results, when they did in fact come back, concluded that Jamisha Gilbert was behind the wheel of the car when the driver's airbag deployed. On Sunday, December the 1st, Norma Gilbert Etheridge filed a missing persons report with the Lynchburg Police Department, reporting that she had not had contact with her daughter, Jamisha, since sometime on Wednesday, November the 27th. Ms. Gilbert Etheridge told the police that Jamisha no longer lived with her. However, it was very uncommon for Jamisha to go 4 days without speaking to her. She reported that Jamisha was living at a house at 503 Blue Ridge Street. Lynchburg police went to 503 Blue Ridge Street. However, no one answered the door. The Lynchburg Police Department, during the course of their investigation, went back to the scene of the accident and began searching the area for evidence. Approximately 4/10 of a mile from the scene, police recovered a black fleece jacket, a white T-shirt, and a black bra. These items were discovered on a guardrail on the side of the road. Police would later interview a citizen who reported that he had placed these items on the guardrail after finding them in the middle of the roadway at approximately 3 a.m. on the morning of Friday, November the 29th. Inside one of the jacket pockets was a set of house keys. The police checked and confirmed the house keys unlocked the front door at 503 Blue Ridge Street. In addition, these clothing items were identified as belonging to Jamisha Gilbert. The next day, on December 2nd, Lynchburg police notified the public and local media that there was an ongoing missing persons investigation into the disappearance of 18-year-old Jamisha Gilbert. During the course of the investigation, Lynchburg police spoke to three young men who had had contact with Jamisha on that Thursday night. Because, as we ultimately will conclude, that no charges are being placed against these three men, we are not going to release their names. One of the young men the Lynchburg police interviewed that night was Jamisha's boyfriend. He advised police that on the night of Thursday, November the 28th, he and Jamisha were at 503 Blue Ridge Street. Jamisha was upset that her uncle was not going to allow her to continue living in the house rent-free. The boyfriend and Jamisha left the house late that evening, picked up another young man, and purchased some marijuana from an unknown individual in the lower Rivermont area. They then went to a convenience store, at which time Jamisha went inside the store. The three of them eventually drove over to Poplar Street, parked the car in front of a third man's residence. The third man joined them in the car, and all four of them smoked two marijuana joints that they had rolled. Jamisha eventually stated that she was ready to leave, so two of the men got out of the car on Poplar Street, and the boyfriend of Jamisha then drove back to his residence. They drove past his house, parked in Altus Lane, where they smoked the last of the three marijuana joints. Jamisha began crying, talking about not being able to live in the house on Blue Ridge Street. She then began talking about her stepfather had raised her to be a demon. The boyfriend told her that she needed to get things straight with her family. They then drove back to his house. He got out of the car and went inside. The boyfriend said that the last he saw Jamisha, she was driving her car down Rockwell Road in the direction of Concord Turnpike. When asked what he did for the rest of the night, the boyfriend stated that he had contacted another girl afterwards, that he and this other girl eventually went out, purchased some more marijuana, came back, and spent the night at his residence. Lynchburg police were able to identify and talk to this second girl, who corroborated his statement about meeting her later that night. Lynchburg police were also able to locate the other two young men who corroborated his statement about meeting and smoking marijuana with Jamisha in the car. When the boyfriend was asked what Jamisha was wearing on Thursday night, November the 28th, he recalled that she was wearing a black fleece jacket, a white T-shirt, black leggings or sweatpants, and light brown fur snow boots. Lynchburg police were later able to identify and obtain surveillance video footage from a convenience store, which showed Jamisha inside the store on Friday morning, November the 29th, at around 12:27 a.m. She was purchasing cigars. Cigars are often used, they're opened up, the tobacco is taken out of them, and they're used to make what are called marijuana blunts. During the next 2 days, local law enforcement extensively searched the last known area where Jamisha was seen on Rockwell Road, also thoroughly searched the area where her clothing was found on Concord Turnpike. Police conducted a door-to-door canvass of residents and businesses on Rockwell Road, Altus Lane, Stratum Road, Concord Turnpike, Tyriana Road, Pleasant Valley Road, Cheney Lane, Cavanaugh Road, Poston Road, Nickerson Lane, Cornell Lane, and Spinoza Circle, all in that area. During the course of the investigation, police were able to obtain a surveillance video footage from the City of Lynchburg Wastewater Treatment Plant on Concord Turnpike. The video surveillance revealed that at 1:55 a.m. on Friday morning, November 29, a black female was running away from the downtown area into the direction of 460. If you notice, to the right-hand side, you can see a man working with a bobcat. As shown in the video, the female appeared to be wearing dark-colored pants, light-colored boots, and either no top or a very light-colored top. The partial clothing this female was wearing matched portions of the clothing that Jamisha was last known to be wearing. Lynchburg police reviewed the video surveillance prior to and after seeing the female running hours in both directions, basically. However, no other individuals appeared on the video. There is no evidence whatsoever that she was being chased on foot or being followed by a vehicle. She appears to be entirely alone and partially in a state of undress as she's running at a steady pace at around 1:55 a.m. As I said, the video also showed a city employee working as she ran past. Had she been being followed, she would have had every opportunity to seek help from that particular person. In reviewing the evidence that had been discovered from the location of the vehicle crash, the recovery of the jacket, the T-shirt, and the bra, the video surveillance from the wastewater treatment plant, and the discovery of the boots and the sweatpants on the side of Concord Turnpike. This is where the discovery of the boots and the sweatpants. All of this showed that she was heading in the direction of Route 460 when she was on foot in these early morning hours of November 29th. On December the 4th, at approximately 11 a.m., local law enforcement discovered the naked, lifeless body of Jamisha Gilbert in a thickly wooded area between Pleasant Valley Road and Route 460 near Megginson Lane. The area where her body was discovered was in the middle of a briar patch and was so thickly covered that law enforcement was forced to use chainsaws in order to cut a path to the location of her body. There were no indications that her body had been dragged into that particular location. The distance from the car crash to where her body was found is approximately 2 miles. On December 5th of 2013, an autopsy was performed on her body at the medical examiner's office in Roanoke. We received that autopsy report in the last few weeks. The autopsy report revealed that Jamisha had no internal injuries, did not appear to be suffering from any disease, and that there was no sign of the sexual assault. However, the medical examiner did report that she had suffered numerous abrasions all over her body from her face area to the bottoms of her feet. The photographs of her body revealed hundreds of scratch marks that the evidence shows she sustained either from walking or running through the briar patch where her body was eventually recovered. The toxicology report revealed that Jamisha had a small amount of marijuana in her system. There were no other substances found in her system, no alcohol, no cocaine, no heroin, no PCP. No other illegal substances. The amount of marijuana found in her system is considered to be a very small amount of marijuana. A toxicologist with the Department of Forensic Science said that the quantity of marijuana found in her system appeared to be consistent with a person having recently taken a few puffs from one or two marijuana joints. The autopsy report stated as following, and I'm going to quote the autopsy report at this particular point in time. Postmortem heart blood toxicology confirmed the presence of tetrahydrocannabinol, I'm just going to call it THC, which is the active ingredient in marijuana. THC may uncommonly have psychoactive drug effects that have been documented in the literature, producing effects of euphoria, altered perception of time, perceptual disturbances, and acute psychosis, with symptoms including but not limited to paranoid delusions, auditory and visual hallucinations, and disorganized thinking. Generally, psychotic symptoms, when experienced, last minutes to hours, with some reports of symptoms lasting for weeks. Additionally, psychotic symptoms have been documented to recur with repeated cannabis use. An excerpt from the decedent's diary dated August 27, 2013 supports a psychoactive drug effect in the decedent, stating, quote, "I write these words in this book in order to share the strange dark secrets in my head that I can't explain the origin. I only realize these secrets through the high I've received through Mary Jane. The euphoria plus, I'm placed into a world unlike this one that has revealed to me that the world I live in is like the Matrix." The documented low temperature for November 28th and 29th are 17 and 18 degrees Fahrenheit. A nude individual would not be able to survive such temperatures for multiple hours. Additionally, paradoxical undressing, a condition associated with hypothermia, commonly occurs as the individual has a false perception of being warm and subsequently undressed before death. The physiological cause of this false feeling of warmth occurs because of the failure of vasoconstriction, where warm blood is allowed to flow back to the frozen skin, bringing with it a hot or flushing sensation. Paradoxical undressing occurs in approximately 50% of hypothermia cases, according to the literature. In this case, it is unknown whether the decedent's actions of removing her clothes are due to the psychoactive effects of marijuana or due to paradoxical undressing. The cause of death is hypothermia. Marijuana consumption likely contributed to death, although the degree to which marijuana contributed to death is uncertain. The investigative reports of the circumstances leading up to death indicate the manner of death to be an accident. That's the end of the quote from the medical examiner's report. So based on the results of the entire Lynchburg Police Department investigation, including the autopsy report from the medical examiner's office, we conclude that no one should be charged with any homicide offense. There's absolutely no evidence that anyone engaged in criminal activity that was, quote, so gross, wanton, and culpable as to show a callous disregard for human life. That is the standard which we would have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt in order to prove homicide in this particular investigation. Based on the evidence revealing that Jamisha smoked only a small amount of marijuana, that it'd be highly unusual for a person to react in a manner as she did after having smoked the marijuana, we are unable to prove that any of the three young men who Jamisha was with had a callous disregard of human life by passing a marijuana joint for her to smoke. The question then is, should the three young men face misdemeanor criminal charges for distribution of marijuana for passing the marijuana joints around in the car that Jamisha willingly smoked? The quantity is such that it would not be a felony offense. It is a Class 1 misdemeanor in the Commonwealth of Virginia to distribute less than 1/2 ounce of marijuana from one adult to another. A Class 1 misdemeanor is punishable by up to 12 months in jail. Based on the admissions from all three young men that they passed marijuana joints around a vehicle that all parties, including Jamisha, smoked, and the toxicology report revealing the presence of a small amount of marijuana in Jamisha's system at the time of her death, there is sufficient evidence to potentially charge all three with the misdemeanor of distribution of marijuana. However, a joint decision has been made in this case between the Lynchburg Police Department and our office not to charge any of the three individuals with this misdemeanor offense. The justification for this decision comes in the possibility that a greater good can result from this case if the facts remain open to the public now, instead of in months or possibly a year from now after a criminal trial and all possible appeals have been exhausted. If we were going to place criminal charges in this particular matter, I could not be doing this press conference today because I'd be violating these individuals' constitutional rights. The decision made between the Lynchburg Police Department and our office has been to reveal all the facts to the community in the hopes that other teenagers and young adults understand the potential dangers that exist in smoking foreign substances. Jamisha Gilbert was an 18-year-old recent high school graduate with the hopes of becoming an attorney, but whose life was ended after briefly smoking parts of 2 to 3 marijuana joints and then being involved in a car accident. Her diary entries reveal the strange thoughts she had when she smoked marijuana, her mental state on the night of her disappearance, being upset over family issues and her living situation. When combined with the effects of smoking marijuana and the trauma of being involved in a vehicle accident, seemed to have pushed her over an edge to the point where she acted completely irrationally, disrobing and running down a roadway during the middle of the night on a very cold evening. It appears that after Jamisha ran approximately 2 miles, she became entangled in a densely wooded briar patch from where she sustained hundreds of abrasion wounds to her body and eventually succumbed to her injuries and mental state by lying down in the wooded area and dying of hypothermia. This does not have to happen to anyone else. By releasing this report and exposing all the facts in this case, it is our hope that local teenagers and young adults will understand and have a dialogue that smoking marijuana can exacerbate mental health issues and make rational people act completely irrationally. In fact, in a study that was published just last week in the Journal of Neuroscience, a professor of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School discovered brain abnormalities in young adults who are marijuana smokers. According to his research, brain regions related to decision-making, motivation, and emotional processing in participants tended to be compromised. The findings revealed differences in the minds of young adult marijuana users at an age when their brains are still developing. As said before, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, distribution of marijuana and the possession of marijuana do remain criminal offenses. The Lynchburg Police Department and this office will continue to enforce the laws of the Commonwealth and seek criminal charges for those breaking the law. Again, however, a decision has been made in this case not to seek criminal charges in hopes that releasing all the facts of this investigation sooner rather than later will allow persons to make more informed decisions about the potential negative effects of smoking marijuana. Therefore, it is our conclusion that no criminal charges will be filed in the case of the death of Jamisha Gilbert.